There has been a recall order on my Toyota for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And every time I go in, they say, sorry, there's no cure.
Yeah. What?
Like there's no remedy. And it's like, hey, your airbag is defective. And I'm like, sorry? And they're like, yeah, we can't do anything about it. And I'm like, oh, should I not be driving this? And they're like, eh, I mean, just like don't get into an accident. I'm like, oh, okay, so normal rules.
Yeah, okay, got it. Like, okay, what I was so planning on doing was
see, I was in the movie Drive featuring Ryan Gosling, and I was planning on doing a couple of stunts. You seen that movie?
I was in the movie Cars starring Owen Wilson. I was going to repair a road with a semi-sentient machine named Bessie. Never really
I don't know why Bessie is not alive.
Where Bessie fits in the hierarchy of the car machine sentience hierarchy.
This is gold. We got to save this for the podcast.
This is on the podcast right now. Here we go. Welcome to The Crunch. It is your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick Carfax Nevy.
And we got a third person on the podcast today. Here they come. Hear that? That's the sound of the probiotics I purchased at the store to regulate my gut health.
I thought you were trying to do some like kind of Foley where you like, no. It sounds like someone's walking into the studio, you know?
No, the Foley was of pills in a bottle being pills in a bottle. That was the sound selection that I made. If anybody knows anything about symptoms of serious digestive problems.
I'm sorry, you have symptoms? You dropped this, King. No symptoms.
Oh, okay. It was a simp thing.
Yeah, it was a simp thing.
So I've been having things come up and out through the mouth. Things go out and down through the butthole. And not the ways that they should be. And so no. I'm very comfortable sharing this on the podcast because I'm concerned. I've thought I had appendicitis about three separate times, and then I go to a website or anybody who knows anything, and they're like, no, you definitely don't. But I'm still worried that at any moment, like either my gallbladder is going to fall out of my butt or my appendix is going to burst open because I've never had like this much trouble for this long before in my life. So.
Yeah, and this is possibly the worst time in history to have any kind of like illness that's more than normal, you know?
Right, because everybody's just like, you have the coronavirus. It's like, well,
there's other things still, you know?
Yeah, there are other diseases that exist. And
like one of my coworkers gets seasonal bronchitis. Like every year she gets it around this time. And went to the doctor for like her regular thing. And they're like, you have coronavirus, shut it down. And she's like, no, it's just bronchitis. I'm fine. And they're like, no, you're not. Go. 2319.
How many Pixar references can we fit into the beginning of this podcast?
So many. I learned. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Never mind. There's no joke there. I made a Bug's Life reference to a friend a couple of days ago.
Yeah. How did it go?
You know what we should do? You know what we should do this week on the podcast?
Please.
We should talk about the Catholicism subreddit. Because...
Okay. I'm going there right now.
I think we should stop taking Dating Corner questions from our viewers. Okay. And I think that we should not stop, obviously, because they're awesome. But I think we need to just take... We need to take a ride through reddit.com/r/CatholicDating.
Oh. Now that... could be our final evolution to completely being a ripoff of my brother me, and instead of doing Yahoo Answers questions, we do questions from the Catholic dating subreddit.
Okay, listen, taking content from Catholic subreddits or not taking content from subreddits is definitely not a Mabam Bam original. Okay?
It's not Mabam
Bam. It's definitely not Mabam Bam fedora tip.
Oh man, this is great. I think it's a great idea. I'm also worried. I don't want to, like, I guess we kind of shame our audience sometimes.
Yeah, and but also, like, these are all public.
That's true. They know that they're posting on the internet. They know that the crunch is out there when they post it on this website.
If they didn't, there should at least be, like, some sticky thread that goes, hey, listen, better be careful, you know? For instance,
Did you have one in mind? Yeah.
This one's just very sad. It just says, ladies, it's just from a user who just goes by the name of Catholic Single Man. And he goes, ladies, would you date a man who gets depressed sometimes? And it's just stuff like this that's just very, very sad. And you can't make fun of that, you know? But who would put that on a dating subreddit? You know, like, don't do that.
I see, this isn't like the fun help. This is like a...
Nope. Here's a good one. Posted by u/mlgenius. Is it bad that I don't want to date non-virgins?
Okay, great.
This is a good one.
strap me in.
There's always one that's like... There's always one that's about like some kind of struggle with sexual impurity. Yeah, I told you about the one that was on Catholicism subreddit. Someone posted a picture of themselves in a religious habit, and I got the it was a deleted comment, but someone commented something and the person who posted it originally got really offended. The person commented, "Dang, I don't mean to simp, but I can tell you are very attractive from just your eyes alone. I had no idea married women could dress like nuns." I'm like, wow. Please don't.
It's so weird.
Please don't do that.
Such a weird
please
thing to
say. Please don't sexualize nuns.
Please
That's
stop.
That's like the worst thing you could That's do. So anyway, I have a feeling that Catholic subreddits are gold and someone needs to do something with them.
That could be us. We just have to put in more work before we start recording the podcast. Maybe that should be what we do on our Friday recording.
Yeah.
Let's find the really, really just good ones and then help people recognize, like, this is the state of the church today. Not in an alarmist way, but in a way that kind of says, this could be the guy next to you, and all you got to do is say hi to him, and he'll stop this. it'll stop.
Matt Martinison sent me screenshots. That's why this is on my mind. Someone was posting about stay-at-home dads.
Yes.
And they're like, is it wrong to be a stay-at-home dad? And it was very funny because everyone was having like an intensely, like very intellectual conversation about like, well, it could technically be immoral, but it's not technically immoral, but it could be bad for like your children's perception of gender role. It was just a very interesting conversation that could have just been cured with, no, it's totally fine. Do whatever you need to, man.
Yeah, I mean, lots of dads back in the day used to be stay-at-home dads because their work was farming.
At home.
At home. So, chill out. I wish that I had anything funny to say.
Yeah.
About anything.
The only funny thing that we really have had happen to us recently is that you have tummy troubles.
That's it.
Is only funny because it's a bathroom thing.
Right.
It's not funny.
It's not funny because I'm in pain. It's not funny because I am nervous every time I eat, you know? You're like,
is this salad going to be it? Is this it?
I know. My team is like, oh, Ethan, can you eat cookies? And I'm like, probably not.
And I am very stressed about the wedding.
Let's talk more
it's
about that.
It's funny because... Yeah, okay. Well, I was talking to my staff about this. I don't know if I said this on the podcast last week, but they were like, oh, are you nervous about the wedding? And honestly, like, I haven't had time to be nervous about actually being married, which is good because, you know, Phoebe and I are pretty set on that.
Yeah, you should have that figured out by now.
Yeah. And it's just like there's most of my nerves are like, is everybody going to have fun? Is the party going to be fun? Is everything available for like the ceremony, like, do I have, like, oh my gosh, what if I did the marriage license wrong and we're screwed? That's the stuff that I'm worried about. And then also global pandemic. Like, all of that is overshadowed by the giant blimp hanging above everyone's head right now. And it's, yeah, because, like, I mean, I don't, how would I feel if someone got coronavirus and was hospitalized that went to my wedding? There would be no way to know if they got it at the wedding. But if somebody gets coronavirus after the wedding, within the 2 weeks of the wedding, I'm going to think they got it at my wedding. You know?
Yes.
And how am I supposed to live with that?
It's out of your control.
Good point. I no longer feel anxious.
Sorry. I mean, I'm not trying to.
No, you're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. It's like the only reasonable answer to that is.
Yeah. That wasn't me being sarcastic. That was me being incredibly easy to convince.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm incredibly easy to convince.
I thought you were like upset with me for being an annoying counselor friend when you didn't actually ask for counseling.
No. Sometimes that happens with when I'm talking to Phoebe. So I'll say something like, maybe we should do this. And she'll be like, no, I think it'd be better if we don't do that. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's probably a good point. I'm just very easy to convince.
I wish that I had that, because what happens when I'm talking to Emma is I say something. She goes, well, I think that that's maybe a little bit wrong. And then I double down. And then I get upset with her because she's not agreeing with me. And then an hour later, I apologize because I realize that I was wrong. And that's,
yeah,
but that's good. I'm trying to decrease that amount of time to be in the
razor
moment.
I'm trying to decrease my margins, razor thin margins. Yeah. Wait, no, that's not a good thing.
It's part of life. And not to say,
you want to just do an entire Dr. Ethan's Data Corner episode.
We can, let's do hot take time machine first. And then we can start doing what I think we can do. And I feel comfortable in this is your and my's ability to have a conversation that people find interesting every week for the past nearly 3 years that is supported by loyal patrons on patreon.com/thecrunch. We could call it The Crunch and then we could upload it and then see what happens. See if people actually like it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I choose you. You're kind of like a Pokemon that I chose out of the many different Catholic Anonymous accounts at the time. You know, you could have picked anyone. There were lots. I'm not going to name any names, Tristan, but
we were by far the most normal.
And I'm glad that
not
I picked
the coolest.
You. You're the Pikachu to my Ash, and I'm the Brock to your Misty.
You mean we have a secret romance that carried on in the background while our friend ran around and caught animals?
Was it really that secret? I think Brock was just very obviously in love with every woman on screen ever.
No, except for Misty.
But
I think that's because he already knew that she was a sure thing. Like, that's the thing. He was like, I already know that we could be together, but I am not going to do that yet. And then at the end, I think they secretly did.
Pokemon is one of those things that's like sneaky in the pop culture zeitgeist. Like,
yeah,
it's, I know a lot about Brock and Misty and Ash and Pikachu, but like, I wouldn't say that I watched more than 10 episodes of that show growing up.
Oh yeah. Cause I only really watched them. Like, we would check them out from the library, and there were like 3 episodes on a VHS tape. Yeah.
I checked out McGee and Me when I was at the library. Did you ever watch those?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, my goodness. They're McGee and Me, and I learned so much about lying to your parents to go see an R-rated movie.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that episode where the kid feels bad in the middle of the movie and then leaves and then his parents are like, why do you feel bad? He goes, because I lied to you about going to an R-rated movie. And they're like, that's right. Give me the 3D glasses. And then they go and see the movie.
What?
I actually think that's how the episode ends. It's like they go and they check it out and then they're freaked out by it. And they're like, wow, thank goodness we didn't. We were right on that one.
Huh. Weird. And yeah, then, I just remember McGee and Me being like a really vanilla, like, worse VeggieTales.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There were these great scenes, like, over the shoulder, he opens a Bible, and then it's, like, the voiceover of him reading whatever pertinent scripture from the book of Romans exclusively that they were reading from. That's sarcastic. I don't know if that actually was the case. There were probably other things we rented from the library besides McGee and Me, but that's the only thing that I think is relevant to my upbringing.
I got really into the Beethoven movies.
The Beethoven movies. Oh, the dog.
Beethoven. The dog, okay. Not the person.
Whew.
No.
I was like, Beethoven, wow, movies. Nerd alert.
And I remember we had this old... You remember when the cursor on a computer was, like, thick? It was, like, the size C's? Of a letter. Yeah. every letter, it's, like, the equal spacings. Like, every letter takes up the same amount of space on the screen. So it's, like, the screen is, like, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, the computers were really old looking. They weren't very normal. And so it was hard to look things up. But I got through, like, the five Beethoven movies. And then, wait, let me see. I forget exactly which one it is. But I got to the end. Maybe it was like Beethoven 6th. It's like they never made that one.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, there's got to be a Beethoven 6th. And I kept like Googling it, not Googling it, but like searching for it on the little, they made it up to Beethoven's 5th. And I kept looking for Beethoven 6th on the little catalog, but I could never find it. And I was like, one day I'll find it, but they never made it.
Tragic.
I know. Very interesting story.
Tragic.
I love Beethoven.
To the story.
Apparently they rebooted it in 2011. I was not aware.
Did you ever watch the when I was a young boy, I was told that I had to like cars and trucks and construction vehicles.
Yeah, because of toxic masculinity. And,
yeah, because of the patriarchy. And There was this one.
That's patriarch.com.
Patriarchy.com/thecrunch. There was this one series. There was this guy and this lady. And they would always check out like different kinds of vehicles. Like they had one episode on motorcycles, and they had one episode on like the round things that squish down the pavement. You know, the big rolling guys.
And ah, steamrollers.
Steamrollers. Thank you. I couldn't think of that name.
I don't know. I was like, those aren't round, but this must be what he means.
They were cylindrical. They had one on space.
Oh.
And then they went to Mars. And then
budget they must have had.
And then they met a Martian, and then they freaked out, and they got on the ship, and they went back, and it scared me so bad as a kid. I was like, I thought this was about spacecraft, and they're getting attacked by a Martian. It was very odd, because it was like they saw each other's shadow, and they're like the guy and the girl, he's like, well, that's my shadow, and that's your shadow. Well, whose shadow is that?
I don't know, but whatever happens, we're having 6 more weeks of winter.
I know. But when I was 5, I was like, whose shadow is that? How come they never reveal who it is? Why isn't this show about the Martian? It's just about the stupid spaceship. I was confused.
I have a distinct memory of watching JJ the Jet Plane when I was younger.
Okay.
And he, like, one of the characters, like, flies above Earth and, like, out into space. And I remember having this thought. I was like, why does every show take place on Earth? That's just so not creative. And I was like, oh, because there's not life on other planets in the solar. Okay.
Have you heard of the show Planet Sheen?
It obviously takes place on Planet Sheen. The only joke I remember from Planet Sheen is Sheen brings chips and dip to a party, and the king goes, oh, thank you for innovating chips and dip. For so long, we just had chip and dip. And it just shows a chip with like a mountain of dip on top of it. He's like, it was not very popular.
That's pretty funny, actually.
I know. That's really, like, that stuck with me. I was like, that's really clever.
Chip and dip.
Chip and dip.
Oh, boy. That's we've got to get some of the writers from Planet Sheen onto this podcast.
Hey,
Maybe they can bring the funny that we so
lack.
The
Jimmy Neutron spinoff.
In these uncertain times.
It's always the goofy friend who gets the spinoff. You know, like you got Joey, the hit show Joey.
What?
You know the number one? I was listening to the Office podcast, the Office Ladies podcast, and oh, are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine. My chair just broke.
Oh, man, you're having a time.
I know.
When the Office came on the air, the Office Ladies podcast is like two of the actors from The Office, and they were talking about the number one show on at the time when they started airing was Joey.
Like from Friends?
the show.
Joey Tribbiani, the show?
Yeah, the show was just called Joey.
I'm smelling a Verify 2020 candidate.
Joey, yeah.
Joey, the show?
And that was the number one show on NBC when The Office was airing.
Wow.
Which just shows you how old The Office really is.
It is. Midway through the second season, the show was placed on hiatus. Only one episode was shown in its new time slot before the show was canceled.
Yep.
Wow. What was maybe the overview of the show? The series centers on Joey. Series is a bold word to talk about what this was. Series centers on Joey, who has struck out on his own and moved to Hollywood, hoping to truly make it as an actor. Joey says goodbye to a time when his friends were his family and welcomes the chance to turn his family into his friends. What? After reuniting with his high-strung sister, Gina, a strong and sexy hairdresser, it's weird to say that about your sister, Joey moves in with his genius 20-year-old nephew, graduate student Michael, who is literally a rocket scientist. What Joey lacks in book smarts, however, he more than makes up for with his people skills, making him the best new friend his nephew could ask for. I don't see what could go wrong with this cast of characters. It seems like they...
Seems very much like...
Dumb hot guy, hardworking sister, and then a super smart but socially dumb kid. What could go wrong?
I think they underestimated the appeal of Friends. The only reason why anybody watched that show was, I wonder who's gonna have sex next. you can't replicate that energy with a completely
with a dude and his sister. Yeah, like I loved that's Joey. Like, when I watched Friends, I loved Joey for his raw sexual energy. And that's it. And then when you take him out of that and you put him in the family where he has to be neutered and subdued, no, I'm not interested.
Also, tell me how we're going to subject the general American public to a show that's just completely Italian. There's no way that went over well. Like when he said hairdresser, I pictured that girl with jet black hair that stands 2 feet tall above her head. That's what I pictured.
I mean,
am I wrong?
I've got bad news for you. Everybody Loves Raymond did exist.
Oh, dang it, you're right.
Yeah. And also,
but they also like the Sopranos, Italian, you know. Oh yeah.
Like I feel like there's lots of shows that are about Italians, Patrick.
Yeah, but like, I mean, Joey is not Italian in the normal sense of like, ah yes, a culture. Joey is Italian in the way that like 90s comedians imagined black people, you know. It's like,
yeah,
very stereotypical and offensive.
Sure.
Do you remember the, I don't know if you ever saw Friends, but there was an episode where Joey like went to his house and the inside of his house was just dark roses everywhere, and just it's like they took every crucifix and icon they could find. It was just so, it was terrifying.
I do remember that, and I remember thinking, wow, Joey's fallen far from his Catholic upbringing.
Yeah.
That's tragic.
So this is a great episode.
Joey and the assistant, episode 15, season 1. Joey hires an assistant named Glenn, who turns out to be perfect. However, after he starts dating Gina, things start to go downhill. Meanwhile, Alex holds a mediation between Michael and his friend Seth over a patent dispute. No wonder the show was ranked number one on television when The Office came out.
Yeah, that show sounds awful.
Shows about patent disputes. My favorite source of comedy is patent law.
The thing that everyone understands.
Everybody can relate to when you're suing somebody over the image rights of your logo. Everybody gets that. Everybody knows that. We don't need Courtney Cox. We have patent law.
The average viewer of Friends and the you see a Venn diagram of the average viewer of Friends and people who understand how patent law works, and it's not, it's just a circle.
It's just one big thing. And then there's a
only,
third.
The only people who watch Friends were people who have an intimate knowledge of U.S. patent law.
No wonder the show was so successful. This is why America is the way that it is, right? Everybody fiercely protects their copyright. People are suing McDonald's because the coffee burns them. You want to know why? It's because they, one, watched Friends, two, studied patent law, three, profit. That's the only reason that makes any sense. Let's go to the hot take time machine, because I'm glad that we landed on Joey. I'm glad we landed on that comedy nugget of Joey. But we really need to move on.
We gotta move on.
Let's go to the hot take time machine.
Welcome to the hot take time machine. My name is Patrick. Sorry.
What?
Welcome to the hot take time machine, the part of the show where we take a deep dive into the history of our online social media posting lives. If you have a hot take that's 5 years or older, send it on over, buddy. Put it in an envelope, lick that stamp, slap it on there, put it in a mailbox.
Lick
send
the
it over
stamp
to
and send it.
info@thecrunchcast.com. Ethan, do you have a hot take for
us? We're getting a lot of emails, people asking us to solve their dating problems, but nobody is exposing their tweets from 2015, and I find that to be a severe imbalance.
I think it's because you're all very selfish.
Yes.
Okay? I think that don't get mad at me, but it seems to me as if you only want to send us mail when you get something out of it. That's
called selfishness. Sending us something so that we can purely and sincerely roast you, that's humility.
And if you're sitting here thinking, I'm listening to this podcast and I'm not one of the people who should send in mail, you are. You should send in.
Go back
an
and
email.
Look. We all did something in 2012 we're not proud of. Go back and look.
like go see the movie 2012.
Oh gosh. I think I did. I saw a lot of movies in 2012 that I shouldn't have. I think Battle Los Angeles was one that I saw. When did that
come out?
That
was a good one.
It wasn't, though.
No, it wasn't.
It was 2011.
I think it was pretty good. I was excited. I was like, man, finally Los Angeles is going to get what they came for. But then they won?
Yeah.
Gosh.
I was so pumped. I was so excited about it, too. How old was I in 2011? It was 9 years ago. I was
14.
I was an age. Okay. This tweet for the Hot Take Time Machine comes at you from July 7th, 2016. It says... Would it be heresy to remix the Tantum Ergo into a trap banger? ?
Why do I remember this tweet?
Someone please advise. 0 retweets, 9 likes.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah. Just a really cool idea that I thought everybody would be like, please, Ethan, do this. Gosh, you're so talented and handsome. And then like nobody...
Please start a podcast so we can give you money.
Nobody cared. Also... Just how do you remember how loosely everybody defined heresy back in the day? It was just kind of like,
oh gosh,
thing that might have been maybe wrong.
Yeah,
like, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be heresy. It would be kitschy. That's
what it would be. it would be uncouth.
Everything was heresy. Yeah, I remember that. That wasn't fun. Like people receiving on the hand was heresy,
mm-hmm.
And like.
And I also just the idea that like, yeah, I produced some music, but like the thought that it's like, oh yeah, if you guys want me to do this, I can just bang this out real quick. Like, and just make something really good. Like, no, I couldn't do that.
I wish
I was talented, but you have to actually work at that. If you want to be good at it,
practice.
You can't just tweet about it, try to attract some Catholic EDM girls. And then, you know, live your life. Like, that's what I was trying to do. And it,
the final form of e-girls, EDM girls.
EDM girls. What do you got, Pat?
Okay, so this actually happened. This is from March 2016. This is not me doing a goof. I actually said this.
All right, I'm ready.
Friend, aw, the baby's crying. And I said, I love when babies cry during baptisms. And she said, what? And I was like, yeah, that's right. Cry out all the paganism.
That's pretty good. I mean,
I'm proud of it.
It's not bad.
It's not funny. I mean, it's not funny.
I wouldn't say that it's funny, but it's not like we're not throwing it in the bin right away.
Yeah, it's not bad. It is something that I used to say. I stand by that. It was funny 4 years ago. It would not be funny now.
Why do you think that is? Have we grown? Have we matured? Are we different?
I think the world is different. I think that...
The world is funnier.
Yeah. The world is funnier. I think there are... Oh, my God. It's like the U.S. stock market.
Okay.
Okay. the stock market now, even like with a coronavirus crash, is better than it was in 2008. Like the U.S. stock market always goes up on average, yes. right? Like it's not, it's, that's why inflation happens, right? I don't actually know if that's true, but
you're the guy so that's supposed comedy, to know this stuff.
I think comedy goes, I don't know how the stock market and inflation works. I just know that it does happen. I feel like comedy is like on a stock market too. You know, it's just, it's always increasing. We're always getting funnier. You know, even if there's some crashes in comedy where there's like a really like big normie influx, you know,
yeah,
and it just like really crashes down, you know, like right the Karen thing, you know, like it was like really funny, like everyone was being really funny for a while, and then people started making fake Karen videos, and it's like, ah, oh, come on, and then people made songs about it, and it's like, all right, now it's now that we're in a little bit of a Karen recession.
Okay, you know? Karen. But eventually, okay, Karen. Okay, Karen. Like the Okay Boomer song, but instead,
yeah.
Okay, Karen. Mm-hmm.
I do have to say, though, the Karen and BLM protest could not have happened at a more opportune time. Like, those two things happening at the same time were just chef's kiss.
Someone was protesting Karens?
No. So, like, people would go to these BLM protests, and they would, like, harass protesters. And
right.
People would be racist at these protests, and then the protesters would just join in and shout, "Go home, Karen," at the person until they left.
That's pretty fun. Even if they
yeah,
were
pretty fun.
A dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Karen knows no gender. It's kind of like how a boomer knows no age.
Yes, I understand.
Anybody can be a boomer.
Anybody can be a Karen. Boys yeah. support boys. Anyone's a boy.
Just because your name is Karen doesn't mean you're a Karen.
The idea that the funny stock market is just always going up as we age,
yeah.
I just find to be inherently false because I know a lot of old people, Patrick, that are reliant upon some old goofs to get by. They're not really producing that new material, you know what I mean?
That's the thing. It's like old people are a window into the past,
okay.
Let's say. And like 20, 30 years ago, actually, you know what, 40 years ago, mm-hmm. my wife jokes were like, "Ha ha ha. This is hilarious." And it's because it indicated the time, because everybody hated their spouse, because everybody was, not everybody, but like people were just not in good marriages, mm-hmm. right? And also there was a huge, we do have to understand where people are coming from with the my wife jokes. It's like the my wife jokes comes from the generation of, I don't know, people were like getting married really quickly in the 50s and the 60s because everybody thought the world was ending, you know?
Is that why they got married so quickly? I think they just wanted to have sex.
I don't know. I mean, people were getting married pretty quickly because like there were like the Vietnam War happened, not in the '50s, but like later when war would happen, you would go away to war and you would get married right when you came back or right before you left. You mm-hmm. know, you're like, oh, I gotta get married now, otherwise it's never gonna happen.
Because your mama might die.
And so, yeah,
interesting.
I don't know if there's. I'm not a sociologist. That's literally just Patrick talking. Hmm. So don't go and take that to the bank. But I don't know. I think that the my wife jokes were funny in their time mm-hmm. because of the atmosphere. But that atmosphere is no longer here. So they just don't make sense. You know, like someone said to me, you know, like, oh, I'm like, yeah, I really love Phoebe. Like, I can't wait to marry her. They're like, oh, wait, just wait like a couple of years. And I was like,
that's dumb.
Okay, I will, and
then I'll love her
10
more.
$10
then.
Says,
"Yeah,
gonna love her more now." You know, because it's like she's like, "Oh, you guys get along now, but just wait, you'll start fighting." I'm like, "Oh, believe it or not, I have fought with this other person that I've been like next to for 3 years straight." You know. Anyway, so
and then I said, "That's not a Model T. That's my Clydesdale," and he swallowed some gasoline.
Yes, I think people are getting funnier. Okay. I think in order to see where the future of comedy is, you don't look towards the olds. You look towards the news. You look towards the. I mean, TikTok is so funny.
I told one of my teammates today that I would learn a TikTok dance with her for the sake of team unity.
I mean, TikTok dances are okay.
But she like wants me to do it, and I'm just like, all right, I guess. If it will make you happy.
TikTok makes me uncomfortable because there's underage girls dancing.
Yes.
And I'm like, please stop dancing.
Yes.
Thank you.
For the very same reason, you would be uncomfortable if you walked in on a high school dance you should be uncomfortable if you have TikTok on your phone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's TikTok is just subjecting the entire world what high school teachers chaperoning dance have been subjected to this whole time.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you never go to the middle. Never go to the middle.
Dangerous.
Oh, it's horrible.
Horrible.
It's horrible. No, you know what? I stand by that. It's horrible. One time in my first homecoming, I think it was my second one, my friend Matt came stumbling out of the middle and he was like shaking. It was kind of a bit, but he was like, I saw a woman's breasts.
What?
And I was like, nice. Stop. Yeah, no. Some girl was just like dancing with her boobs out.
No.
Yeah.
This is a family podcast.
I mean, I'm just talking about the anatomy.
I guess. But in my family, we don't have that.
In my family, we don't have
we don't have anatomy.
We don't have anatomy.
I've been an amorphous blob since I was born. My parents refused to tell me which part is which.
Buddy, that's my wife.
I have no mouth, but I must scream. Hey, in all of this, have you maybe thought of a topic that we could talk about? If not, we should just skip straight to Dr. Ethan's dating corner. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
I just don't know how to podcast this week.
I don't either. This is literally the worst week for both of us ever to podcast.
I know, and I feel like this is the worst episode ever.
No,
you know what? It's fine. People listen to it at double speed anyway.
We don't have to be... Let me tell you this, Patrick. Let me just remind you, right?
Yeah.
The Father loves you, right? He's looking at you right now. He's looking at me right now, and he's saying, I love those guys, right? Those are my favorite guys, you know? It doesn't matter if we post a bad podcast and nobody listens to it, because the people who have been listening to our show for these 3 years, they know that we put stinkers out sometimes, you know?
It's true.
And then they come back next week, and then usually we come back with a pretty strong episode. And
that's fair. And then...
And also, you know, you only get married once, and you only become a new team director once. So it's like, they understand, right? They get it, that these are like weird, crazy, uncertain times.
Uncertain, socially distant times, yeah. Alone together times. That's fair.
Do you want to do TikTok dances together when I'm in Florida?
Yes.
I think that'd be great for our brand.
I'm doing TikTok dances right now.
Oh, boy.
I'm doing the Renegade.
That's the one I was being taught today.
Oh, wow. You're slow on that one.
Oh, no. Never mind.
That's the Renegade's done.
Is it?
Yeah. What? There was a big news article that I read about the girl that came up with the Renegade. And she's like, yeah, everyone's doing my dance now. And everybody and like these big TikTok celebrities are making money off of it. And it just kind of sucks. And I'm like, yeah, I bet. She like posted this dance. And it was very creative, and it like shot off, and like everyone was doing it. And then all these big TikTokers that are I redownloaded TikTok. Okay, cool. Let's talk about TikTok for a second.
Sure.
I redownloaded TikTok, and there's like random. You know what the Hype House is?
No.
So the Hype House is a group of teenagers who are very famous on TikTok, and they all live together.
So like now, Jake Paul's thing.
Yeah, it's like Jake Paul's thing. Does that sound like the worst idea ever?
Yes.
Yes. Is it? Of course.
Yes.
Of course it is. They didn't copyright the name Hype House, and so there's other Hype Houses now.
Great.
There's the conservative Hype House.
Patent law always comes
just
back
people,
to get you.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, copy patent. This is just the patent law episode. But yeah, so there's the conservative Hype House, which is like, I've seen some of their videos. It's just, it's every Ben Shapiro... It's more like Steven Crowder.
Okay.
Not David Crowder. More like Steven Crowder.
Not
it's like
David Crowder.
The libtards think that people should have health care. LOL. I'm 12 and my mom pays for my gas. You know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just conservatives with abs. That's what it is. And so I go on TikTok now, and then everybody, all these 15-year-olds and like 12-year-olds are making political TikToks. I'm like, you guys are... Go play Animal Crossing. Jeez, you don't have to worry about this yet, you know?
It's interesting. One of the things that we discuss in our training is how one of the fundamental needs of the modern man is moral affirmation, about how, like, you have to be affirmed in your belief, or else, because people are searching for communion, right? They're searching for a sense of identity and belonging, but they don't have that because they don't have a big family, or they haven't lived in the same place for generations, or they're not going to do what their dad did, who did what their grandfather did. You know, like, there's no sense of continuity, or their identity is not given to them by anybody. And so it makes sense that people go out there on the TikTok or whatever it it is. I feel like an old man when I say it, because it's a thing that I don't use, that I know about. But
I've been having some fun making TikToks.
Have you?
Uh-huh.
Should I make TikToks? No, I can't. I shouldn't. I literally don't have the time. I promise.
You would be so good at it.
I know, but I can't do it.
My coronavirus prank video is one of my favorite things I've ever made. It was not very popular. It didn't get a lot of views, but I thought the concept was hilarious. The concept was, it was right when quarantine began, and it was a YouTube prankster trying to film a prank video in public when no one was around. It was very funny.
How do I find your account on TikTok?
At Catholic Pat on TikTok.
Catholic Pat TikTok.
Tell me why
I should do it, and why I should not avoid it like the plague, so as to not get addicted to it in the same way I was addicted to Twitter.
Here's how you don't get addicted to TikTok. You just write down your video ideas, film them all at once, and then don't keep the app on your phone. Just when you have an idea, download it, and the next time you have free time, download the app, film the video, post it, delete it. Because TikTok is an infinite scroll.
Yes,
it fills up the screen completely, and you can just scroll forever, and it's terrifying.
It's actually just so, like, it's something that I just don't want in my life. I also, I made this comment earlier today about how I don't desire to be a content creator. And then my whole team looked at me and they were like, aren't you recording a podcast later? And I was like, fair. But where do I draw the line, Pat? I want to engage with the culture, but I don't want to lose the battle for my mind.
It's long form content versus short form content.
Yeah.
That's why I always feel like, and that's the thing, it's not, the medium is the message, which means that certain mediums are better than others.
You know who says
books
that?
Are Marshall McLuhan.
Cal Newport.
Nope, Marshall McLuhan.
I'm halfway through his book, Digital Minimalism. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, he talks about Marshall McLuhan in Digital Minimalism.
I got it on audiobook.
Nice.
Audible.
I got it on audiobook.
I just want you to be proud of me.
I am very proud of you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. So anyway, like, books are inherently better than social media, but you can use social media in a way that's good. For instance, Phoebe uses Instagram in a way that's very good, I think. Is she has her curly hair care Instagram account where she like posts tips and tricks and tutorials, and there's like a community. I think it's really nice, you know? And she like creates things that are helpful. She shows me like the stats on how many people save her posts, and so many people save them, and it's cool because like these people are actually learning something from social media. It's a way to share information, right? Whereas like Twitter is just pumping garbage out. Like Twitter rewards you based on how often you post, and like some of the quality of the post, obviously, like if people respond to it, but the quality is like, okay, the quality isn't a factor. It's how often do you post, how often do people click the button, you know? And that's just useless, I think. And I also think Facebook is useless for the same reason. It just encourages you to be like a consumer of people's content. I don't know. I think Instagram and TikTok are a good thing in terms of social media. I think Twitter and Facebook should go the way of MySpace.
I just don't think that will happen, though.
No, I don't think so either, because they did what MySpace didn't, and they found a way to monetize
themselves
and turn themselves into virtually television networks. What you said about tradition, kind of backtracking, I guess.
Sure.
And social media is like the anti-tradition, because it's literally just new. Whatever's new right now is what we're paying attention to. So I was reading a book called Politicizing the Bible, and we don't realize how how entrenched we are in modernist thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we were talking about how we use the word heresy all the time. People use the word modernist all the time, and they think it just means someone who believes in gay marriage.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Not the case. Yeah, modernism goes back to like the 1300s, which is crazy because that's like the end of the medieval time, end of like the medieval period. And I don't know, this book is really interesting. It talks about how we've reduced tradition down to, like, we reduced the Bible down to like moral laws. And you were talking about this when we were talking about McGee and me at the beginning of the podcast. Uh-huh. How like VeggieTales and McGee and me and like children's religion stuff was, here's how you be nice, mm-hmm. and here's how you be kind, and here's how you don't be angry and don't be mean, you know, and like be well behaved, right?
Yeah.
And this is why people say stuff like, oh, well, the Jesus is just Santa Claus for adults. And it's because that's all they see, is they see the Bible as this like moral rule book, right? Like, here's how you be nice. And there was this guy, Spinoza, who was like the father of modern thought. And he honestly believed that the Bible was just there for people who weren't smart enough to do philosophy and figure out what's right and wrong on their own. Mm. And he was like, you can have the Bible, like it's for the plebs. You know, we can do reason and figure out what's right for ourselves. And that's like such a common, you hear that all the time now,
yes.
Right? It's like, oh, I don't need philosophy. I'm a secular humanist. And I don't know. I don't know why I brought this
up.
This
is
good on my mind.
It's like the modern man is the one who believes that he can create himself, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's no longer like, it rejects the idea that I've been created by something else or someone else who gives me a nature, who gives me a destiny, who gives me like all these things, right?
Yeah.
Who gives me, in fact, like God gives us institutions that are essential to us, right? He gives us the church, and he gives us marriage, and he gives us the family, like all these things, right? That are given to us. But when we say, no, I'm going to use my brain that I somehow have, and I'm going to create myself, and I'm going to invent myself and follow my own desires and follow, you know, use my freedom that, again, I somehow have to be this autonomous person that like just dictates, you know, like I have my own agency, and anybody who infringes upon that is reducing my individualism and all this stuff. And like, it's just, it's such a appealing way to live in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. because then nobody can tell me that I'm wrong, and nobody can stop me, because that would be an infringement upon my freedom. And like, you justify it by saying, well, I'm not infringing anybody else's freedom. I'm trying to fulfill my own destiny that I've created for myself. How can that possibly be harmful to the rest of the world?
Yeah.
And that's like, and that is the American culture has purchased that and like got it. And they're like, they want that hook, line, and sinker. Like, they're all in on that idea.
We're all here for it.
We're here for it.
And that idea of freedom means doing whatever you want as long as it doesn't infringe on anyone else's freedom. That idea is like basically a truism now, but 500 years ago, it was heresy, literally.
Yes.
And people were denounced for it. And it took centuries for that idea to come to fruition. And I wish it was required. Like, I wish it was like required reading to like have people go through the history of, and if you want to read about this, read 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Dr. Ben Weicker, or read Saints and Scoundrels by the same professor. Okay. Dr. Ben Weicker. He's fantastic. He wrote this book, Politicizing the Bible, with Dr. Hahn, which is like the academic version of what he did with these two books. Mm-hmm. It's intellectual history. I wish it was required for college students and seniors in high school to go through intellectual tradition and see where the thought of the West has come from and where it stood, so that you can actually make an intelligent decision for yourself as to whether or not like you should ascribe to some of these beliefs, because mm-hmm. the insidiousness of these modernist thoughts is that it paints itself as unbiased inherently. Mm-hmm. It's a bias that if you have it, you believe that you're unbiased.
Ugh.
It's like, I can determine what's true. I don't know what's true outside of myself. This is very Descartes, right? It's very Cartesian. It's like, I don't know. There's so many people fighting outside of me. So I'm going to turn inward to look for truth. Nope. Turning inward is sin. Don't do that. Don't turn inside of yourself. He's like, I'm going to start with myself and what I know is true. But that's like a false premise. The whole I think, therefore I am thing. Mm-hmm. It's a false premise because you are not the most knowable thing to you. You don't know yourself as well as you think you do.
And so just ask my wife.
And so we start with the self. We go like, oh, well, I can determine what's true. I know I think. I know I can see. And I know I can, like, what I touch is there. And I know what I see is there and all that stuff. So, like, I know I can start from what I see around me. And then I can figure out what's true after that. But that, the crazy thing is, like, there are so many mistakes you're going to make along the way by starting over from the beginning. Modernism tries to, like, get rid of tradition, which is weird because it can't survive without a tradition. But it tries to get rid of tradition and say, no, you can start on your own. But then everybody's trying to come up with their own moral philosophy. You know how exhausting that must be?
Yes.
Imagine if you didn't have a moral compass. And so what people do is they do what, you know, they do little, like, they do what the human brain does. You make shortcuts. You go, well, you come up with little rules for yourself. What's like, in the moment, I'm going to do this because it's what I like and no one knows that it's what I want right now. Or like no one, as long as people don't see me do the wrong thing, I'm fine. You come up with little shortcuts for yourself because it's really hard to come up with a moral code and then stick to it do you know how many people have tried to write a book?
Yes. Lots.
And they don't stick to it. Why not?
Because it's hard.
It's hard. They don't have an exterior motivating factor, right? No one's going to check up on them to see if they've done it. Why do we think people can create their own moral ethics?
Because it's easy. It's just easy. Whatever I want, whatever makes me feel good.
Yeah, that's the thing,
good.
But it's like whatever I want it to be. That but it's like, you know what I mean?
I get you.
Everyone has to have rules for themselves, right? You can't just be like, whatever I want goes. I don't know. I think that must be what you were saying earlier is like, it comes down to these little shortcuts where it's like, I can do whatever I want as long as it's not infringing on someone else's rights. Right. But again, that's so stressful and hard to figure out because you're trying to deal with what are the consequences of my actions anyway.
Yeah. No wonder everybody's so freaking stressed out all the time and has anxiety and has, you know, all these things because like every time you follow somebody or unfollow somebody or like something or don't like something, like you're trying to fit that or purchase something, like you're trying to fit that into your moral system that you've created for yourself. And if something doesn't compute, you have to do extra mental gymnastics to fit it in. And like, eventually you just end up with this contradictory amalgam of like every, you know, like all these other people that are influencing you. Like you just kind of cobble together your own sort of philosophy for life. And it's not, it doesn't stand on any 2 feet. And you ask somebody just like a couple of basic questions and they're not able to answer them. And then it's like, well, that was disappointing. And I think it's interesting you brought up the great point of how, like, with modernism, every problem is a societal or a cultural problem, and there's rarely, if ever, any problems with the individual. And so it's always and that's kind of the idea of progressivism along with all of this too, of there's always something that's wrong in the culture, right? The problem is always in the future, so therefore everything that was in the past must be bad. You know, if we're always working towards this thing in the future, right, then we can only fix it by being on the right side of history, you know, which means that everything that happens in the past was, you know, those people were on the wrong side of history because they weren't working towards.
Yeah, but
we're
going to be on the right
exactly.
side.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's,
which is why.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you talk.
Which is why anti-racism appeals to me. That whole book that I talked about a couple weeks ago, like a month ago. Ibram Kendi talks about how we have to rethink the way we think of racism. You know, 'cause it's like, he's like, we need to stop saying things like you are racist or you are not racist. Because he says the first thing that people say, if you've ever seen one of these videos where someone yells at, he's like, I saw this video of a woman on the bus and two Chinese people were speaking in Mandarin to themselves on this bus, and she said, you know, in America we speak English, like you should speak English while you're in America. And then people were like yelling at her, they're like, well, that was insulting, that's very offensive. And she was like, if they don't like it, they should just go back where they came from. And she said this in public on a bus, and someone was like, okay, that's racist. And she was like, I'm not racist. And it's just funny because that's the response. It's like, no, he didn't say you are racist, he said that was racist. And you responded with, I'm not racist. And so Ibram Kendi says we need to stop defining people as racist or not racist. We need to just focus on racist beliefs and racist ideas that people can have. And so you need to see them in yourselves. And this is the same with whether it's racism or sin or any other sin. You know, it's like you are not a sinner. It's like you sin. And so look at, well, I mean, in a grander sense, you are a sinner, but it's like it's, you don't identify yourself as the sin. You just see where do I fail and how can I get better? And that's exactly it. This is where secular humanism goes. It goes down to like without a heaven and a hell, we created one of our own where it's like you're either canceled or you're a hero, you know? there's really no you're either a queen or you're canceled. That's the thing.
You either die a queen or you live long enough to see yourself get canceled.
It's exactly like J.K. Rowling is either, oh my gosh, like she's a boss, and then she's transphobic the next day because she like lived long enough to see herself become canceled. You know, that's the thing. It's like at one moment she's like this feminist hero, and then the next minute she's a horrible bigot. And it's that's the point, is like because she espoused this one belief that people didn't agree with, then she got canceled on Twitter. But then, you know, she's going to be fine.
I'm sure obviously. Her billions of dollars in the bank really felt that really hard when they canceled her on Twitter.
I'm sure the Google search.
It's the gif of from Zombieland of him wiping his eyes with the $100 bills. the other thing too, and this might be the last point before we get to Dr. Ethan's dating corner, is that the secular humanism, progressive worldview, whatever you want to call it, modernism, there is a rejection of original sin, right? Like there's no mm-hmm. belief that man is wounded. There's no belief in concupiscence. And so it's this idea of like it for everybody except the Calvinists, but like man believes that they're fundamentally good. Like you're just good. And like you tend towards doing good things because those things are good. And when you don't acknowledge that like we've been wounded by sin, right? And that like leads us to make bad decisions, right? And that means that our world is good but is fallen, right? Like there is a lot of good in this world, but bad things do happen. War does happen, disease does happen, famines do happen, natural disasters do happen, right? Like all that happens, and things happen to human beings, not because any of these things aren't good or because they're evil or because they should be rejected, but because they're fallen. And so it's really difficult to have a constructive conversation with somebody about this, especially in the area of morality, because we can't even agree on like what is the nature of a human, you know? Mm-hmm. Like we have all these ideas of I should be free. Everybody should be equal, right? Like everybody should... we shouldn't just tolerate, we should affirm people's beliefs, you know, all these things. It's like, well, we can't even get to that conversation until you talk about like, what is my nature? Like, what is my end? Where do I come from? Where am I going? And
where do I come from? Where do I go?
Where do I come from? Cotton Eye Joe. And, I don't know at all how to tackle these problems. The only thing I do know is that it's up to us. Go back to the All Gas No Breaks podcast. It's just up to us to encounter people that are different than us, because the only way to like reveal the holes in someone's bad worldview is by constantly exposing them to a worldview that's true. And eventually, I mean, if you're confronted with truth, eventually you have to either accept it or reject it. Like you can't just ignore it for forever. And so we need to be less in the, what do you call it? The conservative flop house. What is it called?
Sure. That'll be it. Yeah.
We need to be less in the conservative flop house just by ourselves with our abs and are making our political statements. And we just need to be more willing to go outside of ourselves and our social groups and our circles and encounter people with this worldview and like talk to them and be friends with them and treat them and have some reverence for them, have some sympathy for them, because they desire good things, right? They desire to be affirmed, which is good. Everybody desires that, right? They desire to be loved and be a part of something, and they desire to have purpose, and they desire to do good in a lot of cases. And I think that no matter which side you're on, there's really rarely an acceptance of like this person does good or that group of people does good or desires to do good. We only just, we see, well, they have this belief, so there's no way they can be doing any good or have any desire for good. And so we just need to respect and reverence the other person in the same way as if, I mean, every time you meet a person, you're like, you're seeing the face of Christ. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Good ending.
Great ending. I want to help people.
All right. Hey, Patrick.
Yes.
This one's a good little,
is it
little
fun?
Update.
Is it it's an update.
It's an update. Yeah. So this will be quick and then we'll go on to the message. But hey, Patrick, I'm updating y'all on my dating situation. I was Georgina, who was told to either do quads in the quad or start a podcast to go on a date with a guy. Although these were strong suggestions, I went for the old fashioned message. Hey, you want to get dinner sometime? And it worked. The guy and I got dinner last week. It went well. I figure now the ball is in his court, but I don't think we will go out again.
Oh.
But you never know. Nonetheless, still a nice time and fun. Georgina, you absolute queen.
That's amazing.
Let's go.
Proud of you.
Our listeners know how to go get it. That's all I'm going to
say. It sounds like we gave really good advice, but I don't remember that one bit, so I'm glad that you you got something out of that.
You know how it is when we start riffing on someone. We're like, yeah, go do quads in the quad, LOL, go start your own podcast. And the person listening is probably like,
what?
I am so...
This is the worst. I should have written into podcast.
I should have asked the clerically speaking guys for dating advice. Okay, this one comes from someone who formerly went by Lonely in Wisconsin. Hey, Patrick, follow up. I apologize for my crass comment about the podcast. I would no longer like my... This is the little MP3 recording.
Yes.
I no longer would like my previous question answered. I do have a different question for you. I think that any advice you and Ethan could give would be really valuable to a lot of guys. So here is the question. Honorables, Dr. Ethan and Practitioner Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great.
Darn opinion. Right.
I am a 19-year-old. It totally makes up for the other one. I am a 19-year-old male studying at a state university. That's
good.
Nice. What things should a person in my place have in order... Wait. What things should a person in my place have in order that their prayer life and personal life... Wait. What...
Come on.
What things should a person in my place have in order in their prayer life and personal life and for how long before pursuing a girl? Okay, I don't understand that sentence. What things should a person in my place have?
Have in order. Like
have
he's
an
asking
order.
What,
have an
what
order.
He has in order before he starts
in
dating someone.
In their prayer life and personal life.
Yes.
Okay, so he wants to have things in order
yes.
in his prayer
yes.
life and personal life before pursuing a girl. Sorry, I was very confused.
I know.
Were you confused?
No, I got it the first time. I was just letting you
do it. Oh, okay. Yeah. It seems like certain speakers say that if you like a girl, you should ask her out. That's kind of like us, but I wouldn't say. Anyway.
We're not speakers.
I'm worried, though, that if I were to pursue a girl, it would be out of desire for affirmation from women.
Mm.
What are good reasons to pursue a girl? T. Hanks.
All right. Number one, do you have a crock pot? If you don't know how to put some chicken in the crock pot before you leave for the day and come back and have some nice, warm, tender chicken breasts, you're not ready to date a girl.
Get a crock
Get
pot.
Get a crock pot.
Get a bag of nails from the hardware store. Make a pressure.
No, stop. That really happened on American soil. You can't talk about that.
Yeah, long enough ago.
Okay. I suppose.
It happens in more places than on American soil.
That's true. So get a crock pot and make sure you have a good knife set because I had somebody come over.
That's just what I said.
A cutting board. So somebody came over and was like, hey, I want to make you dinner. Like, I'm hosting you at my house. Where's the cutting board? And I was like, that's a great question. Let me, you use this plate while I go look for a cutting board. okay. So what should you have in place? Here's the thing. Obviously, we should always be striving towards having a regular prayer life, a regular life of serious devotion and building virtue, right, all the time. You're going to be doing that for your entire life. And so to set some kind
whole
of...
Time. Whole
the
time.
The whole time. And so if you try to set some kind of like, oh, I got to be at this place before I will be quote-unquote holy enough to quote-unquote date, then you're going to be in for a hard time because what if you get to that place and you start dating and then you regress and you fall back below, right? That happens all the time in the spiritual life. You move forward, you move backward. you sin. Sometimes you go a certain place and you sin in different ways than you have before in your life. Sometimes old sins come back. Sometimes you have great new devotions that last for a long time and really carry you, and like you receive a lot of consolation, but then you experience dryness and you feel far away. All this to say, right, like the spiritual life is very can be very topsy-turvy. And so I think to set an expectation of yourself in your prayer life is a bit unreasonable. And I would say, as long as you are seeking after God as best you can, right, you're going to Mass regularly, you know, you're going to confession regularly, you're praying every day, you're reading the Bible, right, you're doing all the things that you know you should be doing, then you're probably in a good spot, you know. And you should obviously have a plan to grow. Maybe get a spiritual director. Maybe have somebody who's a mentor, somebody who maybe has a podcast, maybe someone who's 24, has a big nose. Maybe, please don't reach out to me. I don't have any room to.
Adam Sandler.
It's Adam Sandler. Hanukkah. And as far as your personal life, again, I don't really feel like there's anything specific that you like.
Crock
you
pot, have to have down cutting
other
board.
Than the crock pot and the cutting board and the knives. You want to be able to like take care of yourself. And so if you're in a spot where you're always getting up late and you're always staying up late and you're playing a lot of video games and you're binging a lot of TV shows and you're not able to complete your class assignments on time and you struggle to like hold down maybe a job, maybe you're not getting the best grades, maybe that's a sign that you're not ready for the responsibility of a serious relationship. But again, yeah. That doesn't mean that like you should not date, right? It just means that you know what you need to be working on, right? And if you believe that marriage is your vocation, I see no reason why you can't at least take girls out on dates, you know, as because again, if you set that expectation of yourself and then you regress, what are you going to do then? You know, what do you think, Pat?
I think that is good advice. Yeah, in terms of like what do you need in order in your personal life, now that I understand that sentence. Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough situation because like I won't go into specifics, but like me and Phoebe got together when she was in a really bad spot. Like just so happened, you know. And so like sometimes stuff like that just happens. Sometimes a really great match happens in an awkward time. But like it comes from prayer, you know, like I wouldn't have continued that relationship if I hadn't been in a really good spot in my prayer life and known that was the direction to go, or been pretty secure in that decision. But I think Ethan gives a good baseline. Like if you can't like take care of yourself, I guess, then, you know, don't be in a relationship, yeah. You know,
because a relationship,
if you can't like smell good, yeah. You know,
a relationship is you giving of yourself to the other person. Little by little, more and more, you know, at a time until you're married and you've given your whole self to the other person, right? That's the direction of a relationship. Yeah. And so if you can't even give to yourself, you know, like a decent meal and a hot bath, you know, if you can't cultivate those nice sculpted calves that you've always been wanting, you know, from doing those calf raises at the gym,
then
maybe you're not ready to whisk a fine lady off of her feet, you know. That would be what I would say.
I think the main difference is like looking back, the thing that like Phoebe and I helped each other through hard times, and the difference between like, because that's something that we talked about was like, well, am I a crutch? Like, am I, you know, like, is this mean that you shouldn't be in a relationship right now because you're going through a hard time? Or does this mean like, is the relationship irrelevant? You're just going through a hard time and I'm helping you through it. You know, like, where's the line? And I think it's like Phoebe and I made each other's lives a lot easier and we made each other's lives a lot better and we helped each other get through hard things faster, but we still could have done, we could have lived without each other, but like it made no sense,
yeah,
to live without each other, you know. That's kind of how, that's where we're at now, especially with like problems that we run into in our personal lives now, is like, well, yeah, it's true, I don't necessarily need her to help me through this, but I get through stuff a lot quicker when I have someone to be with, you know. So that, I guess, don't think too hard about, oh, like I'm doing a little like poorly in my mental health, like I'm a little too depressed to start dating, right? Like that question we talked about earlier on the dating Reddit. It's like, oh no, I'm a little too depressed to start dating. Like, that's not necessarily true. People that have depression have successful relationships all the time. Yeah, that just happens, you know. So that's, it takes discernment. My answer is it depends.
Yeah, as is the case with all of these, but also definitely ask her out, bro. You got this, bro. You can do it.
Do it.
You're so good and handsome and fun to be around.
We support you now, and we forgive you for the other question.
Okay. All of this vice is contingent on the fact that you support us at patreon.com/crunch. Patrick, I also don't have time for another question. Like, I need to go. So,
okay.
Sorry to cut you short there, but... A man's got obligations, as they say.
I feel bad because this next question is someone they asked us like a little while ago. They asked it about, they were recently dumped for being too Catholic.
Ooh, well, they're going to hear this on this episode and know that we're going to record again in 2 days, and we're going to post another episode next week, and your question will be the first one that we talk about.
Yep. So at Anonymous, I know you. I got you.
We're here for you. I hope maybe this will make it easier, you know, now that it's, you've given some time.
Yeah.
So.
Get back on that horse.
Patreon.com/thecrunch, patnevy.blog. I'm so very excited for Patrick's wedding. In between this episode and the next episode that comes out, Patrick will have gotten married.
Duh.
So
that's cool.
That's amazing, right? Isn't that so exciting?
Isn't that awesome?
Everybody pray for Patrick on Friday, July 31st. Say a big old prayer for him and Phoebe and for me, because I am going to start a conga line, even though dancing is not allowed at the reception.
Hey, we're getting married at 3 p.m. on a Friday.
Oh, that's so sick.
That's kind of cool. I didn't think about that.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
We are saying a Divine Mercy Chapel beforehand.
For the sake of a sorrowful passion.
You know, we're looking for someone to sing the Divine Mercy Chapel before
Have
our wedding. Would you like to sing
mercy
on
us?
Oh, man.
Hey, cool. Do you have anything else for the people?
I literally forgot all of the bits we did.
Patent law.
Oh, yeah. Do it again.
Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
If you or anyone you know has been a victim of mistreatment of U.S. patent law, please call Nevy and Stevie at Attorneys in Law.
At 1-800.
At Patent Law.
1-800-PatentLaw.com.
1-800-PAT-N-LAW.
Oh, that's
Patent
that's
Law.
Funny.
It's where me and Law have my friend Daniel and I have this bit. You'll meet him at the wedding. We had this bit where like my brother and his sister get married, and then he and I meet at the wedding, and we were like, well, I guess now we're brothers-in-law. I guess we got to move in together. And so we move in together, and we're Pat and Daniel, brothers-in-law. And then we both look at each other like, and we're also lawyers.
You guys are so funny together. We just,
yeah, you're gonna have a great
we
time.
We always love
at this
when
one.
Pat and Daniel get together and goof around. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next week.